This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neinzel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Our guy Jonathan Hood off this week, but don't worry because you can always catch his wrestling takes Sunday morning, SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. And look, you may want to tune in. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. Of course, they'll probably be giving their reactions to Saturday night's main event. AAA going on this weekend. Clash in Paris is just 2 weeks away. Double or Nothing on Sunday. So a lot to dive into this episode. But where we start, it doesn't happen often, Brian, but I was genuinely surprised at something that happened on Monday Night Raw, because in this era of professional wrestling, usually surprises get leaked. Surprises, or there are rumors of something that could happen. Sometimes those rumors are wrong, like Chris Jericho going to WWE.
Right.
But this nobody had anywhere. Brock Lesnar shows up out of nowhere, delivers one, not two, not three, not four, five F5s to Obafemi on Monday Night Raw during the Obafemi Open Challenge. And then we cut to backstage where Brock Lesnar hands a contract to Adam Pearce, saying Brock Lesnar's still retired. But here's the biggest rematch of all time. Brock has already signed this. Brock versus Oba. Not official right now at Clash. I assume next week on Raw, on Memorial Day, Oba will sign the contract and we'll have it official for May 31st that we will get that rematch. What were your thoughts, Brian, when you saw Oba appear? And what do you think the rest of the story should look like?
Yeah, and also to your point about, yes, surprises leak. Also, we're aware of what the calendar is. Clash in Italy, it's a 2 o'clock Eastern show next week. Not a big show. Like, it's just sort of like we're talking about glorified house show. Brock and Oba there makes no sense, so you're not expecting that. You told me in 2 weeks we get Brock return and we're setting up a rematch. SummerSlam's coming up. That makes sense. So that adds to all that. In terms of what should happen next, Oba better win. Like, I don't want to do the 50-50. I don't want a third one. We've talked about it. Oba needs to leave Minneapolis as the world champion. Hand him the belt. Give him the ball. See what happens and turn a new leaf for this company. Him going 50-50 with Brock kills everything that happened at Mania.
Yeah, but I mean, it would certainly set up an anticipated third match. But this isn't like when Brock and Cody were just kind of wasting time that summer. Right, where Cody clearly needed something to do outside of the bloodline in Roman, and here comes Brock. They split the first two, and then Brock kind of puts Cody over and raises his hand and apparently scared Cody initially because he wasn't sure what was going to happen. And he just raises his hand at the end of the match after Cody took the rubber match and took two out of the three. I don't think we can do that, but also, like, Brock retiring, Clash in Italy? Because he's still retired. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was made perfectly clear by Paul Heyman. And, you know, I filed paperwork on his behalf, which, cool, I guess. Yeah, I didn't realize the WWE operated like the NFL, and where you actually had to file the paperwork. Which, right. The only reason I know you file paperwork in the NFL is because the Brett Favre saga here in Wisconsin. But I digress. That was, you know, almost 20 years ago at this point. But I fear that they're not sure what to do. I don't know if this was a panic move or if this was always the plan. It's probably got to be always the plan, because the only thing, if Brock was truly retired and he did that in the moment, like, Brock to me has always been someone who will genuinely act on, like, he knows the business. Like, we've all seen the videos of the different times of him, like, yelling at guys, you know, at the end of Monday Night Raw, like, he's on the ground. Hey, pick up the title. You know, he like gets the business. And him walking away and retiring, if that's what he felt, like, I don't think WWE would be able to convince him to come back unless they paid him so much money.
Right.
Which wouldn't make sense, because TKO's cutting people down 50%. And I don't think they would just throw money at Brock to come back for Clash in Italy. So I guess what my fear is here is that Brock will win at Clash in Italy to set up a third match. And the only way that a third match would make sense is SummerSlam.
Right.
But after Oba wins there, then what the hell do you do? Because you're already out of people that Oba can run through on Monday Night Raw with this open challenge. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. That timeline, Oba is not a world champion in 2026.
Correct. And I don't, like, that would be, to me, a missed opportunity.
Yes.
Like, this is, and while I can appreciate Triple H's want to, hey, do long-term storytelling, try to build things up. Every once in a while, I think, and look, we at times here on the show, man, why is Braun still down in NXT? Why is Braun still down in NXT? And like, we've been impatient with guys, and that turned out to be right. But I think that Oba is the exception to the rule. Like, this dude is hot. This guy is incredibly over. The only thing that makes sense for him right now is putting a championship on him at your second biggest show of the year in SummerSlam. Night one, night two, this dude needs to be main eventing. Not the first match on the card, not battling for an IC or a US title. No, he needs to be battling for the WWE Championship or for the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, those are the only two options to me for Oba Femi at SummerSlam. And again, like, so what do we have? What Night of Champions? Like, Brock retiring of Night of Champions doesn't make a ton of sense either. So like, if they're going to do a third one, SummerSlam's the only thing that makes sense, and that worries me.
So the only way I could sort of get them out of this, because again, this seems to be a situation where they're putting themselves in a corner once again. Like, we could have had the rematch happen at SummerSlam, and then you figure it out from there. Oba wins, Brock is down or whatever, and somehow we end up with Gunther and Brock at SummerSlam. And Gunther gets to retire Brock.
And Brock if Brock is on a losing streak, that kind of takes like the shine off of.
Yeah, but Gunther can still brag about taking out the monster and the beast and all that sort of stuff.
Which also means Brock is losing to Cody Rhodes at Clash in Italy.
Yeah, probably.
Which also is unnecessary.
You could make it a title match. Gunther versus Brock for the title, like.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Career, you do it that way, like feed someone to Brock in between there, where it's like, oh, we're going to have a number one contender match, and somehow Brock comes out and crushes, you know, Austin Theory or something like that. So it's not a three-match losing streak on the way out. But then in that situation, we're still protecting Oba. Gunther's still getting over the career killer, and Brock goes to do what he does in Brock's life.
Yeah,
we don't need it in Italy. Like, if we're doing it in SummerSlam, yes, that pushes back the Oba calendar. It screws things up in terms of his clock, but at least he wins in this situation. Like, I don't like the idea of him losing next week.
Either do I. And I don't like the idea of Gunther losing.
Right.
But it seems like we're getting both at Clash of Italy, because it's the only thing that makes sense storyline-wise. Like, because I can't imagine Cody's walking out of there losing. I can't imagine that Brock's going to come back just to eat another. Because this isn't a situation where Brock can go on first, have his 5-minute match, and leave. What? You're in Italy, pal. What? Like, you're kind of locked in. Like, I guess if you want to jump on the plane, feel free, but it's a long flight home.
It is a long way from his farm, but here we are.
So, it's so weird. And I guess as far as some of the other stuff, because I've seen some of the, you know, when somebody takes off their boots and that should be protected. Man, nothing's protected in 2026.
Right.
Like, I don't care about that. Like, it's just the next. And while I didn't like the Seth Rollins faking an injury thing.
Right.
Like, we've seen guys fake retirements before. It's professional wrestling. That happens all the time. Like, you use something that fans, like smart fans who have been around forever, know, and try to use that against him. I mean, how many times have you seen now a referee, because anytime they do the X, somebody's really hurt. But now they do that, you know, when they're doing the stretcher job, and you know they're not actually hurt because they're trying to blur the lines of reality and what professional wrestling is. And that's all this was. So I don't have a problem with Brock.
Thing he loves to do is you put the credits on the screen. It's like, oh, the show's over.
Yep.
And then something happens.
Yes. Like, I don't have an issue whatsoever with the way they brought Brock back. I mean, good on them for sitting out of it for as long as they did. Because I'm like, oh, Brock's coming back. To the point where, like, I kind of forgot about it. Like, oh, I guess Brock's really done. And then they brought him back. And again, it's a genuine surprise. But now we move forward, and I'm a little skeptical of what happens. But again, if Brock just comes out and they have a longer match and it's awesome and Oba wins, sweet.
Good. Yep.
Uh-huh. Cool. Like that's great. And then hopefully, but again, it's just, it's 2 weeks of treading water if that's the way they go. It does make Oba look great. I don't know what you do at Clash to get to SummerSlam, to get Oba. I don't know.
You said, Night of Champions in between Clash and SummerSlam also, like, it's like they don't look at the calendars. Like, it's just, well, let's throw this out there. It's like, oh, wait, we still got to book this show and now that? And like, oh, we're still over a month away from SummerSlam. Like, it's just very odd, some of the decisions they've been making recently.
Well, yeah. And by the way, you've got Saturday night's main event coming up before you get to Clash. Like, it's, and to book this 2 weeks before.
Just waited. We would have been fine.
I guess, yeah, and even if they did it at SummerSlam, I'd probably be able to talk myself into it.
Right.
And then, again, Brock gets to retire in front of the home fans and because he's still retired. And I think you put on, you know, again, a little bit of a longer match because you don't have the shock value of, oh, man, Oba went over so fast. I can't believe it. So have one where Brock kicks out a few times, give a couple of the false finishes before he goes down. But yeah, it's Brock. So I guess the shine's only taken off so much if Oba falls, but there would be, it would be bigger if Oba becomes a champion without having, I mean, I don't even know the last time he lost, like in a one-on-one singles, because he just gave up his championship in NXT, right? So you'd have to go back to that. So you would be talking about this long-ass winning streak as champion, and you're building up like, oh my God, who's going to take this guy down? Could it be him? Could it be him? And I think you could have a lot of fun with that, because as we've discussed, WWE's had issues booking babyface champions. And I think that would be a great storyline from day one that you could attach to, man, this guy hasn't lost in forever as this babyface champion.
September of 25, he dropped the NXT title to Ricky Saints and NXT No Mercy. That is the last time he took a loss. So what if in their eyes, they need to have him take a loss somehow? We skipped Clash of Italy, so we don't get the return last week. Somehow at Night of Champions, he's challenging for a title. Like, that's the open challenge. Like, hey, it's Night of Champions. You're putting a title on the line. Brock cost him. So he ends up losing because of that. And then we get SummerSlam, Brock and Oba part two. Would that make you feel better about a loss?
Well, no, because he's still, well, that would make me, yes, if they did the WWE interference.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, because then that's protecting him. But, I mean, who's going to interfere? Like, this match is happening.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying, like, that would have been a way to sort of clean get out of it, because that would have been the Brock return that would have happened in potentially Saudi or wherever Night of Champions will take place. Like,
again, the Brock return and the rematch makes sense.
Yes.
It doesn't make sense now.
Right.
That's the timing is the problem. Because again, like, you don't need to tell a story to give Brock. He's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, he just returns and attacks Oba. Like, just again, those two on a poster, just it sells itself, right? Like, you don't need a reason for these two to have a rematch other than Brock Lesnar is pissed off. Like, you don't have to, again, the timing of the whole thing is what throws it all off. And I guess I can't imagine.
Like, you don't need the Heyman explanation the same night he returns. Heyman could just be like, I don't know. Like, he does whatever he wants. I thought he was retired. And stress it out for a few weeks until finally you get an answer. Like, that would have been fine.
Yes. Yeah, and then Heyman finally gets the answer, gets the contract, and then we get the rematch at SummerSlam. Again, I think then you would have a post-SummerSlam Oba problem.
Yes.
But you can worry about that then, because you would have the biggest rematch. Again, as Paul Heyman said, and I agree, it's a huge rematch.
Yes.
Again, the WWE way of making everything the biggest of all time, because that's just what professional wrestling is. But it's a huge rematch, and it's an awesome rematch. Clash in Italy?
Right. And with two world title matches already announced for that show, that's the opener?
Probably the middle of the card, if we're being honest.
Oh, like...
I would assume Cody, I mean, I don't know. If Gunther is winning, that closes the show. If Gunther is losing, that opens the show.
Like, because that's the other weird part. Like, if you have this rematch, we'd be okay with it main eventing a pay-per-view. And there's plenty of pay-per-views where they leave the world champions off. You have both already on the show. What are we doing?
We're loading up Clash in Italy, man.
2 o'clock Eastern next weekend. Get excited.
Weather's finally turning in the Northeast and the Midwest. People are going to be looking to be out with their families on Saturday afternoon. Nah, get to your couches at 2 o'clock Eastern so you can watch the, like, seriously, like, this is more loaded than like any single night of WrestleMania.
Yeah, 100%.
And good for the people of Italy, man. Good for them.
Yeah.
Getting a great card over there. I don't know if I'll be watching live. I guess I'll have to see what I got on the calendar on May 31st. But they've created an issue for themselves where they didn't have to. You could have held on to this. Could have put it in the back pocket. Could have waited until after Clash. You could have even started this before. Because again, you could have stretched out this what's Brock Lesnar doing thing for a long time.
Yes. But
why not just hot shot it 2 weeks away from Clash at Italy? Okay, as I said, there's so many other things to dive into this week here on GKW. So many other things to dive into. We've got a pay-per-view coming up for AEW, among other things. Let's dive into the three count. Other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what's number one this week?
That's right. This weekend in the AEW world, Double or Nothing Sunday night from New York. 9 matches announced, 5 of them title matches. The world title on the line, Darby versus MJF, World versus Hair. The Continental title on the line, Mox versus Kyle O'Reilly. Tekla defends the women's title in a 4-way. An I Quit match for the tag title between FTR and Cage and Cope. And the international title on the line, Okada versus Takeshita. How many title changes do we get this weekend?
Okay. I think we might be getting a lot.
Sort of feels like that.
kind of feels like, because, I mean, Takeshita's got to win, right?
He has to.
So I feel like Takeshita has to win. I mean, I think Cage and Cope are winning, but also we're at the point in Cope's, like, we're at the point in their career where I don't think they have to win, so we'll put that one on the back burner.
But remember, the skip is if they lose, they can't team together.
Exactly, which is why I'm saying, like,
you got to pull the trigger.
Because, yeah, there's a lot more, yeah, especially if they, like, sign the New Day. Like, there's so many, like, classic tag team matches that you can have. Okay, all right, so that's 2. So that's 2 there. MJF is winning, because I can't imagine him being bald.
Uh-huh.
So that's 3.
Mox and O'Reilly?
Nah, Mox is retaining. Like, I don't think Mox can... He can't be in the middle of this, like... Training Will Ospreay to be a badass and then drop his championship.
This whole thing's weird. Like, they go the time limit last night. O'Reilly already beat Mox. I don't even know why we were in this situation where he had to beat him to get a title shot. And now it's just sort of thrown together. That's a very odd one.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And I will say Tekla retains.
Yeah, I feel like there's not much story there, so there's no point in just hot-shotting the title off her. Unfortunate in the women's division, Willow announcing last night she's injured, giving up the TBS title and her spot in the OM. So sad to see that.
Yeah, so then they had to kind of shift some things around because her match was supposed to be on this card, ends up not being on this card. Again, maybe I'm just hoping that something good can come something out of something bad and we see Britt Baker appear on television. I hope. I don't know. But it is, that's a bummer for Willow. Because, not that, and we kind of talked about this last week. I don't think we thought she was going to win her second Owen Hart to go on and main events at All in Wembley this year. But she's one of the big-time players of the women's division. So... Yep. Just a bummer that she's, hopefully it's not too serious and it's not like she's going to be out for a year, but obviously it's one thing to bow out of the tournament because that's happening right now.
Right.
It's another to have to give up the TBS championship, which says it's going to be at least 2 months probably.
Yeah. And that's the thing, looking at this card, like we mentioned those 5 title matches, you're going to get great matches. And then, oh yeah, by the way, we're also getting Athena versus Mina, Bandido versus Swerve, Samoa Joe versus Ospreay, and a Stadium Stampede match that has about 45 guys in it. So, should be a pretty fun Sunday night.
How are they going to keep up with the Stadium Stampede? I feel like they're in over their heads with like a normal Stadium Stampede because it's just so chaotic, you can't actually capture everything going on. So now they're adding more people to the mix.
Do we octobox it? Can we pull that off on Sunday?
Call up the. I mean, they've got connections with the NFL. The cons do. So, you know, maybe give old Mr. Hansen a call and see, hey, how do you guys pull this off on Sundays with the Octobox?
That's the only way to do it, because you get so much just chaos and you're missing stuff and you hear reactions. And then I feel like the people there, they don't see anything. Like, it is a very hard event to watch in person, but should be a fun one.
So what do we land on? Four title changes?
Three, I believe.
Three. Okay,
World Tag and International.
World Tag International.
And then Mox retains and Tepsi retains.
Okay. Of those five, which one are you looking forward to the most?
I think somehow it's flying under the radar, but Okada versus Takeshita. Like, it's been a good build, then it sort of cooled off. But I think we forget how good these two are, and now you're just going to let them go out there with the title match, and it's... feels like it'll be the Takeshita face turn, but those two in the ring, 15 to 20 minutes, I'm in.
Is he somehow going to drag, why am I blanking on his name, who also clearly doesn't want to be a part of the Don Callis family and wants to be a babyface because he wants the world championship?
Andrade.
Is he going to drag Andrade with him? Is that because... It kind of feels like Andrade wants nothing to do with the Don Callis family, and he's just a hired gun now for the stadium stampede.
Yeah, so he's in that. So we got that going. I mean, once we get Fletcher back, whenever that happens, you'll get him, I think, turn babyface. I think it'll be a big deal there. But Takeshita's one of those guys. We see what he does in the ring. It's someone you can build around. Like, let's strap the rocket, give him the belt, and let's see what we do.
Yeah, because Takeshita has to win that one. I'm looking forward to FTR versus Cajun Cope, too. Sure. Just because when... And again, your mileage may vary. So Remember, I am a John Moxley fan, the whole deathmatch stuff that Mox likes to do. But whenever AEW goes all out, it seems like they usually do pretty well with the Texas Death or the it's another version of that, the I Quit, that whatever you want to call different no DQ stipulations that they throw out there. And it usually gets a little bloody pretty early.
Yep.
But I feel like that's absolutely... I can't imagine that one not delivering.
Right. And that's the thing. Cajun Cope, like we've talked about, like, there's still a few more things you want to check off the list before those two hang it up. I think them and the Young Bucks, I think the all-in rumor of FTR, Cajun Cope, Young Bucks, New Day, TLC, we're good. Like, that's how you go off of your Cajun Cope. Like, oh, you know what? We've done it all.
How could you have that? I mean, and it won't, because presumably it's going to be, you know, you're going to have Ospreay, you know, walking away with the title, as we fantasy booked for about a full year at this point now, since All In last year, once we knew it was going back to Wembley. How do you not have, if that ends up being the case, if you've got a four-way like TLC match with those four teams, like, how does that not main event whatever pay-per-view you're doing?
I know. I feel like it'll be the opener in the sunlight. It'll get the crowd really going. Wembley will be excited, but we got to do that if you're Cajun Cope. This can't be the last one. I think they still have a few more to check off.
Yeah. I mean, again, I thought they were winning the last one. They didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? So I think they know that they're... Or at least Cope knows that it's winding down.
Right.
At least it seems like it. So if they lost, it would be disappointing. But you're right. We got to get them versus the Bucks, them versus the New Day, them versus,
There's still plenty more to do for those two. And then the Bucks were even talking about, like, there's a different universe. The fact they teamed up with Cajun Cope last week, and they said, like, hey, we've wrestled the Dudleys, we've wrestled the Hardys, like, we've teamed with Cajun Cope. Like, you got to get that. You got to check that off.
They're still EVPs, right? Like, they got to be able to pull a couple of strings.
You got to collect them all. It's like getting trading cards. Like, all right, we got them. Like, all right, there's only one left.
And as for the main, I mean, we've seen it, and we know it's going to deliver the main event.
And it'll be fun, and MJF will be MJF, and Darby will be Darby. Like, they'll play the hits, and it'll deliver like they do.
Yeah, so I'm not at all worried about that. God, there's just not a... I mean, other than the pre-match, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's just not... There's not a bathroom break here, Brian.
No, we get an Athena match. We get Bandito and Swerve. We get Joe and Ospreay.
Well, and again, like Mina has somehow become like criminally underrated in this company too. Like maybe because she loses all the time, right? Like she's in the same boat as Queen Aminata, where she just goes out there, has great matches, but can never win. Fair. So that's gonna be great. Like, I just don't. Yeah, there's not a bad match on this card, and the fact. It's not overbooked. You've got not, well, it's still nine matches.
It's still nine. The stadium guarantee is going to be so long.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe, and some of these aren't even going to get the time they probably deserve.
Right. No, I agree.
Because Stadium Stampede is going to be 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, Joe and Ospreay is a match that could main event a pay-per-view. And that's going to be buried in the middle.
Oh, man, Joe. Which is the match we're talking about the most at the end of it?
Bandito and Swerve. I just feel like those two, given the opportunity where, like, they're not in the main event scene right now. They will be. They can be. Like, those two.
I mean, I lean towards Joe versus Ospreay, but that's just the Ospreay factor. But
right.
I mean, Bandito or Swerve is also really good.
I know.
It's just... just outlandish. And it's just going to be buried in the middle of the card.
Yes.
Both matches, by the way. Both matches just buried in the middle of the card.
Oh. Should be a fun Sunday night.
No, it's going to be,
I think one of their biggest gates ever I saw. Like, it is, it's up there.
Yeah, it is going to be a fun night. And again, as long as this thing's going to run, thank goodness there's no work on Monday.
That's right. So it works out a little bit better.
Especially as somebody who does a morning show.
By the way. As of 4 days ago, there was one ticket left.
Is that it? Like, do they have any way to open up more seats, or is that basically it?
I think that's basically it. So that's impressive.
That's because it's a hell of a card. And again, they're building momentum, man. Like, their shows have been consistently solid. There haven't been a ton of head scratching moments. Yeah, the Mox, you know, the Mox and O'Reilly match on this card, like, okay. Yeah. But everything else has been built up the way you would hope and want. So if one out of nine matches is leaving you scratching your head, that's fine.
And don't worry, step in the right direction. It has been announced. Boom and Doom are on the card, so don't worry.
Oh, so we have more matches on the pre-show.
On the 10, man. Yeah, Shane Taylor Promotions taking on Orange, Roddy, Mark Briscoe, Big Boom, and QT.
Boom and Doom. That's fantastic. All right, what do we got at number two this week?
All right, we're in agreement. Darby's title run will come to an end this weekend at the hands of MJF, putting the title back on MJF. So, great Darby's title run.
I don't know if I can give anything less than an A.
Okay.
And I am somebody who is very skeptical of Darby. I was very vocal about being skeptical about Darby Allin being the world champ. But I think this is the only way he could have been world champ. Like, I think they did it the exact right way. And honestly, I think that ends up being a part of the story that they tell. You know, like if they did a semi-squash match, I think that would be like, man, this guy's just been running himself into the ground every single week. And now he just ran out of gas against MJF. Like, I think that ultimately ends up being part of the story they tell in the ring on Sunday. But I mean, it's all been to the benefit of the fans. Like, we've been saying, and I'm guessing it's going to happen again when we get to that portion of the program, that it's going to be match of the week, non-Darby division, and match of the week, Darby, right? Because like he's just been putting on with different styles of wrestlers, different people each and every week, main eventing. And you joked last week, Orange would open every show defending the international title when he had it. Now this is just main eventing every show because it's the world championship. But I mean, he has just been putting on great match after great match each and every Wednesday night.
And Saturdays. Like, we're going on a Saturday and a Sammy Guevara on a Saturday. Like, it's every show.
Yeah, I forgot about some of the Saturday stuff. Yeah. Wrestling people, getting thrown into bunkers, doing things like that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's the thing. From a storyline standpoint, like, I almost need to see it through this weekend. If they do that route, which I think they will, like you said, where, oh, he's just too beat down, that's why he can't beat MJF, it's an A. Otherwise, I'd probably go B plus. Just the wrestling's amazing. I love the wrestling. But for the story, it's lacking a little bit to where the MJF stuff, I like that you put the hair on the line. I think that was a good way to tie it back together. But unless you finish it off this weekend, it just sort of lacks a little in the storyline department for me. But otherwise, I've enjoyed every part of it. Did we need a Sammy Guevara title match? Probably not. But it's fun to just see different styles and different guys up there.
Well, yeah. And again, like with Darby, I just, again, as world champion, and he's somebody who's never really needed it because he can do so many things. I think you could tell stories with him as champ. And being that over baby face, we've discussed it with WWE. We discussed it earlier in the show. Like when you have a baby face that over, sometimes it's really hard to tell compelling stories, to put them in actual peril. And again, we never thought for a moment he was losing any of these matches. They were great. They were just high entertainment and doing. I know Hood doesn't like hot-shotting the title and passing it back and forth. But again, like, to me, having a short title run where he burns bright for a short period of time that's going to be memorable, that was, and he's doing what he's doing because of, that's the type of, not just wrestler he is, but person he is, that makes the most sense, where it burns bright but so short. Like, having a shorter title reign makes a ton of sense to me, at least in my mind.
No, I completely agree, and it's weird, like, I don't know if we ever see Darby as world champion again, but like, I'm okay with it. Like, we got that moment. We got that moment on free TV. I said it in the moment. It was Foley-esque. Like, it was that moment where, like, oh, shit, they put it on one of the pillars, and it's been a good run.
And I think Mick had the title three different times, I want to say. And none of it, and part of it was the nature of what the Attitude Era was, where they were hot-shotting the title. But, I mean, Mick had it three times, but it wasn't that long either time, but you were able to get those moments. And I think retroactively, you know, I think you're going to look back at this as a great title run, even if it's not that long.
Yeah, I think it's memorable. It's exactly how Darby is. Like you said, like, I'm good with it all. I'm glad they gave him the shot. He's run with it. The main event will deliver again this weekend. It's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be a high grade for Darby, because I would be disappointed. Rarely can I actually be disappointed when we fantasy book stuff, Brian. Because again, it's one of the traps of being a pro wrestling fan. Right. You fantasy book, and then you get disappointed when things don't play out that way, instead of being open-minded to what the story is. Like, it, to me, this is just too obvious for them not to see of, oh, he's going to be burned out. This is why he's losing to MJF. And that to me completes the loop. It completes the story of, he puts so much into it, and then he puts so much into defending it that, and again, it's been part of his promos, right? Like, this is how he's going to be the champ. And when he runs out of gas, he runs out of gas. And
to your point, like, about Foley being world champion, three-time WWF world champion, the first run lasted 26 days, and spoiler alert, that's the marathon. The second run lasted 20 days, and title run number three lasted one day. So, yeah.
But again, there are all, like, that entire run is just so memorable for Mick.
Right.
You know, winning on Raw. He lost it at the halftime heat show that they did at the halftime of the Super Bowl. In a not quit match in an empty arena. That was sick.
That was halftime heats.
Just hang on. Your own Super Bowl halftime show.
Why not?
In an empty arena. Like, oh, God.
Hey,
so
Tony
good.
Needs to figure out a way to do it. They're running after a Twins game. Like, figure out a way to get to the Super Bowl and run a show there.
Just unbelievable. So good. But again, like, I am expecting it, I guess, for Darby, unfortunately, but maybe not unfortunately. It was a fantastic run. I think he's going to have a great match going out. And it's not like he's not going to be a big part of AEW. It's not the champ. Because, again, he is one of those few people, much like his mentor in Sting, didn't need a world championship to be a main event player.
Yeah.
What do we got number three this week?
All right, we talked a little bit. Clash in Italy coming up next week. It'll have Brock and Oba. It'll also have two title matches. Cody defends against Gunther. Roman defends against Jacob Fatu. Tribal Combat. Which title match are you more invested in right now?
I am going to say Roman Fatu. Because, and if I thought Gunther had a better chance at winning, I guess I would say Gunther versus Cody. And it's not that I think Fatu is going to win, because I don't think he will. I don't think that Roman's going to lose a tribal combat match in the middle of the afternoon back here in the States. But it's been a compelling story.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's been fun on Monday Night Raw watching Fatu just try to run through his family, taking chair shots that don't affect him. And you have to basically tie him up in the ropes like they did on Monday, give him 17,000 super kicks, a bunch of Superman punches, and a spear. And he's still able to blurt out tribal combat before he gets fired, right? Like, you just be able to beat that under the gun. So I've enjoyed his cousins in the Usos trying to talk sense into him, him not listening, Roman getting pissed off, going over Adam Pearce. Not a great week for Adam Pearce, by the way. Yeah. Not a lot of control there on Monday Night Raw, right? Like, hopefully for him, it's not like, you know, yearly evaluation time, right? The annual review's not coming up anytime soon, because it's not been great for our guy Adam Pearce on Raw. But I just feel like it's been more compelling than the Gunther kind of overplaying his hand and then having to have the match against Royce Keyes kind of coming out of nowhere and being a part of the main event on SmackDown. So I think that it has made more sense storyline-wise that we've built up to this point where I'm still trying to figure out Cody versus Gunther.
Yeah, there is a story on Raw, and on SmackDown, there's a match. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, even the Usos, like, yes, this is a Bloodline sequel. It's a sequel to a movie. We see it plenty of times where, no, it's not as good as the original, but it's still entertaining. And the role Jimmy and Jay have been playing has been great, to where Jimmy's sort of the voice of reason, Jay's the hothead. Like, it's been good. It's been awesome to see Fatu built up. I am still concerned about him losing yet again, especially in a match like this, which is basically hardcore rules. But I'm willing to see it through. I'm willing to see what comes of it. Whereas on SmackDown, it just doesn't make sense. Like, why we're having this match, storyline-wise and non-storyline-wise. And like you said, Royce Keyes, talk about losses and not making sense. Didn't need him to lose this weekend. You're trying to build him up. But somehow we did that on Friday. So it's just very odd, the two directions we're going right now.
It's kind of, they're doing that with their young talent. Because do we think Sol's beating Becky on Saturday night?
No, but, and also, yeah, she's taking all these losses.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're doing with some of the talent that they've called up, or the younger talent. Again, they didn't call up Royce. They signed him, had a great debut at the Rumble, disappeared forever, and now they haven't.
This week, you assume Ethan Page will lose at Saturday night's main event with the IC title on the line. Like,
I could see Page winning.
Really?
Yeah, I could see Page winning.
Penta's just so over. I don't know if they're going to take it off him yet.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's just like, I really like Ethan Page, and I was highly entertained by the backstage interview he did with Michael Cole, handing the questions he wanted to get asked, calling him Mike, doing things like that. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
That was good.
And so maybe that's the swerve we get with Page winning there. But as far as Clash, I want Cody versus Gunther to make more sense than it currently is. Like, Gunther, again, Gunther, like, not wanting to sign to do it on his own. It just doesn't, I don't even know if that makes sense for his character. Like, his character is just show up, you kick ass and do whatever you want. Like, doing some of the, you know, the chicken shit heel stuff just doesn't make sense for him as the guy who is retired WWE Hall of Famers, and as many as he has in the last how many ever, you know, it's been forever since he's lost a match too now. So
I don't know. Logic part of it, like, Royce Keyes comes out to sign the contract. Like, why no one else do that? Like, Matt Cardona wants to be a world champion. Why he come out like, oh, I'll just put my name on it. Like, it's very odd.
Yeah. And so then they get the match, and Gunther still, you know, is getting his match. But Roman versus Fatu. Yeah, like you said, it's a run back, but it's still a little bit different. Like, all the characters have changed. And I mean, I could actually see a world in which Fatu makes an alliance with someone and somehow he gets over, because he's smart enough yet. Where he's still being stubborn that he thinks he can take on all three, because the Usos are coming out to tribal combat. we've seen these matches before. There's a reason why Roman keeps winning them. But maybe he makes an alliance with somebody who's able to help him out. I don't know. I don't know who that would be. Like, I don't have an idea for it, But much like we learned this, Cody learned this. If you're going to take down the bloodline, you need help. You can't do it on your own. And I don't think that Jacob Fatu is going to be the first one to be able to do it on his own.
Right. And that's right. And also, like, it being a random show, I don't see that being the title change. Maybe there's a world where he gets a third shot and somehow he wins that one. But it is weird to see, like, how you take the next thing. Like, Roman just beating him every time kills the story. So I'm worried about what's next for Fatu.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's one big idea that would not happen, would never happen, to get the belt on Fatu and somehow continue this. And that's Dwayne.
Yeah, that's always an option.
Dwayne returning to help Jacob, and then we finally get Rock versus Roman at SummerSlam. It's not at Mania,
right?
But it's still at the second biggest show, and maybe you get, you know, that's The Rock's last match.
I don't hate that. Is Italy easier to get to for Dwayne than some of the states or Saudi?
I mean, he's got a PJ, man. He can figure it out. He's got a, you know, maybe, I know he's got his tequila company. Maybe he's, you know, got some meetings he can have about something with tequila in Paris. I don't know. All right. not Paris. Yeah. In Italy, wherever. Is it in Paris?
No, Italy. This is Italy.
No, it's not in France. Yeah. It's in Italy. Yeah. So it's in Italy. So I don't know. Wherever. Venice. I don't care. I don't care. So yeah, that would be the big one where The Rock interferes, Jacob wins, gives us Rock Roman without a title involved down the line.
If that's the main event next week, my mind will definitely go there. You've planted that seed enough where it's like, oh, these guys are main eventing. I think we might get some news here.
There's just no way. Like, I guess I've just gotten to the point and I've been so disappointed with the way they handled Rock the last time around. Like,
he counted. What else do you need?
Yeah. It was just so disappointing and the way everything fell apart. And obviously he knows that, right? So I think he's staying away probably for a reason other than just his schedule is incredibly busy. But that's the one, again, that's the fantasy booking that you get in your head that you can't be disappointed when it doesn't happen because it's just not, it's just not going to happen. But that's, again, having the final boss be the one interfering on your behalf. And then again, like Jacob's champion could be interesting.
Yes.
You know, he's, cause they're both kind of tweeners. Cause you see both sides of it a little, you know, you see both their sides and Roman is just, dear Lord, like people going crazy for the OTC when he came out to kick off Monday Night Raw. People were going crazy as he's kicking the crap out of Fatu.
And I personally look at WWE completely different at the end of SummerSlam, our world champions are Jacob Fatu and Obafemi. Like it feels fresh. It feels different. It feels like they're starting a new chapter. And I'm like, all right, I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah. And again, like if Oba ends up going over Cody, like that says something. Right. Yes. Like that is a big moment for Oba. And again, I think you can, I mean, if Rock helps out Fatu, Fatu's full blown heel, but
whatever,
that's fine.
He's probably better that way. I don't need him with a catchphrase. I want him as a maniac.
Yeah. Cause that's what that's him on him is the best character that exists for him. As we have seen over the last couple of weeks. All right, what do we got at News and Notes this week, Brian?
All right, next week we'll be Clash in Italy for WWE. This weekend, plenty of wrestling as well. Saturday night, 7 o'clock on YouTube, AAA with a new show, and it's Mass vs. Mass. El Grande Americano versus the original El Grande Americano. That starts at 7. Then at 8 o'clock, oh, yes, go ahead.
Are we sure that match is still on?
It's advertised as of now. Potentially one of the El Grandes might have been arrested this week. If you believe it is who it is under the mask, I mean, that changes. You never know.
I'm just saying, when you get arrested for battery, and it's not like it was a domestic, it seems like it was a bar fight. If I'm reading.
It was an elevator fight.
Oh, elevator fight.
He and his girlfriend were in a elevator with a third person. That person, when getting out, was not happy with the affection they showed each other. So he then punched said person. Which, you know, isn't usually advised in the public space.
So there you go. But again, usually when you do that, sometimes travel restrictions, you know, like going to another country is frowned upon. So I don't know don't know what's going on. I believe it happened in your state. So maybe you're more familiar with the laws in your state.
It's Florida. There's no laws here. It's Florida.
Oh, okay. Like, all right.
It's a mask gimmick. You can just send someone else out there. Find someone with abs with a certain height.
No, you can't be talking about. That's how we got in this trouble. That's how we got in this mess in the first place. Because they just, one of the Grande Americanos got hurt, went away. And then the other one, who's like a full foot taller, just showed up.
It's called layers. It's storytelling.
By the way, not that I've been watching AAA every week, Undertaker seems to be doing a pretty good job down there.
Yeah, people are very into it. The one thing I keep seeing complaint-wise is the heels and faces, especially in that feud, are flipped in AAA versus what we see on Raw.
Well, because the not original Grande Americano like actually speaks Spanish.
Okay.
Like he goes down there, like he's bilingual. Like, so yeah, he speaks the language, man. Of course that's gonna be over down there. Like you've seen Chad Gable not be able to speak the language. Like, yeah, that guy's a fraud.
Okay. Well, so you have that going. So that's 7 o'clock on YouTube, 8 o'clock on Peacock, Saturday night's main event. Penta versus Paige for the IC title. Paul and Theory defend the tag titles against the Street Profits. Becky versus Sol Ruka, some of the matches on that card.
Becky versus Sol should be great. Again, I'm not expecting Sol to win, unfortunately.
No. And Penta versus Paige should be good. And maybe you put the tag title on the Street Profits and then forget.
Kind of feels like you should.
Yeah. But, you know, they don't have tag teams, so it doesn't quite matter.
That's a shame. Except in the women's division, where, like, everybody's in a tag team.
Right. Those titles will also be on the line this week, so.
Well, they've been on the line every show.
Yeah, that is
like Paige and Bria just showing up everywhere. Have championships, will defend.
So that will be Saturday night, Sunday night, New York. We talked about AEW Double or Nothing. Well, how about on the buy-in show, Renee Paquette, of course, and her co-host this week, Mick Foley, who posted on social media that he is, quote, all elite and is looking forward to meeting up with AEW's amazing roster.
The least shocking news possible, right? Because we knew his contract was expiring, and it wasn't like a full-on contract. He had the Legends deal with WWE. He had announced months ago that he had kind of disagreed with some of the political leanings and direction, TKO, WWE, so he didn't want to be associated with that. Least surprising thing ever, because he's Mick Foley. Everybody loves Mick Foley. And if you can have Mick Foley in your company doing stuff, why wouldn't you? So makes a ton of sense.
He stands behind what he believes in. And also, I feel like we're going to see a match.
So I love Mick Foley.
Uh-huh.
Always have, always will. I mean, he tried to do the thing at 60, realized it was a bad idea. But and I think he's done. I think he knows he's done.
It was a month ago. I saw him in the ring with the Invisible Man. He threw the punches. He took a backdrop, dropping the DDT. Mick looked good.
Well, because the long rumored match, like this is almost like 12 years now, is him versus Mox.
Yes.
Like doing a death match.
Which I believe was like an OVW thing. Like it was before Mox and Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
Like
so, that's how long ago it was. Yeah. Yeah. It was an OVW thing. So, yeah, this is like 15 years ago at this point. And like Mick couldn't get into shape. And Mick has dropped a lot of weight. And again, I remember a couple of years ago, he was trying to get in shape for a comeback. And I think he got hurt training. Yeah. And that's when he realized maybe this is a bad idea.
I think it's higher than zero chance. How about that?
Okay, I wouldn't go much higher than zero just because, like, again, like Mick is more self-aware, I feel, than most professional wrestlers, right? Like, you look at Rick, right?
Uh-huh. Yep, yeah.
And you look at his last match where his heart literally stopped, and he keeps talking about having maybe another one, right? Like, I think Mick's a little more grounded than that.
Okay, I think that is fair, but we'll see him Saturday night. And then finally, in news and notes, MJF in an interview with Ariel Helwani says Aleister Black is the biggest offender of guys and girls that want to use AEW as a, quote, stepping stone to get back to the WWE. He adds that he's speaking up as one of the team captains of AEW.
I don't think that it's a coincidence that you have all these people, even people coming on our show, whenever we have AEW guests, talking about how great that locker room is now that they've gotten rid of guys like Aleister, like Rusev, right? I mean, those Punk, guys.
Throw in there.
I don't know if Punk ever looked at, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is just me being blind for Punk, but I don't think Punk ever looked at AEW as, oh, I'm using this to get back to WWE.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
You know, like, so he didn't look at, and again, maybe, I mean, Punk's Punk, so you just never know what's going on backstage with him, right? Like, he's dumb. But I think that there was the issue that a lot of people in the AEW locker room have is that they love the product, they love what they're doing, and those other people were ones that were released by WWE and wanted to use AEW to get back there.
Yep.
Right? And by doing that, you're acting like, oh, this is below me. And I think that's where some of the issues came into. And that seemed to be, I think Jim Ross kind of openly talked about that when it comes to Aleister Black. So, or Malachi Black, whatever he's going to be going by now.
Yeah, I think fair. And also I think adding to that is that, like, Tony isn't signing every WWE release person. Like, he's aware also, and obviously, like, you see the difference. You talk about locker rooms, like the reaction to New Day, where it's like, oh no, we need to have them here. Like, everyone's upset about them being gone. We want to get them and things like that.
Well, but AEW is also just in a much different place now than when they signed those guys, right? Like, you were looking for that shock factor of these people coming back. And then, you know, fans like us got excited, like, oh man, Malachi Black, think about all the things. And again, like, him being with Brody, because they were paired together before Malachi went to WWE, like, it allowed you to kind of hit some of that for the indie fans out there who were aware of that track record before. And it made you excited because, and again, while Malachi was like that in AEW, he's still a hell of a professional wrestler. Right. He can do a lot of fun things in the ring. But again, if you're not willing to take losses, if you're not willing to be a team player, then things like that are ultimately going to happen. So I think that's why you're going to see AEW be more selective in coming years.
Yeah.
Because I think this is going to be an annual thing where a lot of people get let go from WWE, where they're not just going to dive head first. There's, you know, not that I think Karrion Kross would show up there and treat AEW as lesser than. I think they're only going to do things where it's like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense for us. And we kind of have an idea right away what stories we want to tell. Because, and I think this happened in WWE too, by the way, but in AEW, how many times do they sign someone, they show up for a week or two, and then it's like, now what?
Yes.
So I think they're trying to be more purposeful and more thoughtful with the people and surprises that they sign.
Completely agree.
All right, what do we have for... Okay, we'll just get out of this out of the way. The Darby Allin match of the week. Speedball Mike Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Speedball. Yep, we saw that coming.
Get that out of the way. So elsewhere in the world of professional wrestling, what did you have for matches of the week?
We'll stay with Dynamite. How about Briscoe and Ciampa street fight just because?
Just because.
Yeah, like, what are we doing there?
Just because it's a Wednesday night.
Uh-huh. Mark Briscoe has notes stapled to his head.
He took a cheese grater to the face.
Yeah, that happened.
What match did Ospreay have last night?
What's it called? From Joe's group.
Yeah, oh, with Shibata.
Shibata, there you go. Yep.
Yep. So there again, another Wednesday night in the world of AEW putting together great matches.
I actually had a couple of WWE ones for the first time in a while, ooh. I feel like. Finn and JD from Monday.
Yes. And you kind of knew that it was going to be, it was advertised, like, okay, like these two, this is gonna be great.
Yeah, that feud seems to be going on maybe a little too long, but whatever. It was a fun match, those two delivered. And then I enjoyed on Friday Carmelo and Ricky Saints.
Yeah, which kind of came out of nowhere, which was nice because we hadn't seen Carmelo in forever.
Yeah.
And suddenly they just have a backstage segment and now they've got a match in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, and they were able to do it with no interference. They did the rope thing and things like that. Like, it was weird to see as a WWE match, but it delivered.
Well, and what's exciting about that, again, it was a good match. Is it seems like, and I did not watch the feud live, but from what I understand, it was really good in NXT. It seems like they're gearing up for Carmelo versus Trick.
Perfect. I'm in.
Because Carmelo wants that U.S. title back. So, SummerSlam?
Yeah, I guess so. I was in Philly when they did NXT. I guess it was for the NXT title. And they ran where the arena is that the Sixers and Flyers play in. And that place was super invested. We've talked about how invested NXT fans are, but both those guys had the crowd willing to do whatever they wanted.
Yeah, like I think that's if that's the direction we're going, which it kind of feels like.
Yeah,
sign me up. Sign me up. Sign me up for a nice 6 month long feud for there. And they get, you know, 4 or 5 matches against each other and mix and match. Yeah, that was.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And again, a longer match on SmackDown.
Oh, I know. Weird.
Very strange. Very strange that they got that. You can check out any of the older shows, older interviews that we've done, future shows. Just go ahead, subscribe, like us, comment over on YouTube, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. That way you will not miss any of the interviews that we do, any of the shows that we've got coming up, especially any of the live shows that we happen to do around some of the bigger shows in the world of pro wrestling. That'll do it for us here this week. Again, busy weekend. We do have SmackDown on Friday night. We got Saturday night's main event. We got AAA on Saturday. We got Double or Nothing on Sunday. I hope everybody enjoys it. And then come right back here next week because you know we're going to talk about it right here on GKW.